All right, you primitive screwheads, listen up.
Do you know what the problem is with you kids today? You guys think that all science fiction started in 1977 with Star Wars.
We put the picture's name on everything.
Oh, look, he's got a billion toys.
Baseballs, the t-shirt.
What about movies like Forbidden Planet, The Day the Earth Stood Still, Solaris? What about Logan's Run?
Baseball's the lunchbox.
I have to possess this comic.
Baseball's the breakfast cereal.
I have a Mego Isis action figure.
Almighty Isis.
Baseball's the coloring book.
I say we stay here and fight it out.
Shut up, kid. You weren't even born when Star Wars came out.
You fuckers think that just because a guy reads comics he can't start some shit? I'll fucking take all you want.
Welcome to Geek Stuff, Episode 7, Generations.
You know, it's nice to hear you have your voice back.
Ah, it's perfect, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yes, it is. So, what, we couldn't come up with a more gay title than Generations?
No. That was...
That took us like 2 hours to come up with that.
Sadly enough, it did.
Because...
Goddamn titles.
What was the other one? New Blood or something?
Some shit.
I don't know.
I think the title thing is... running its course, maybe.
No, well, the way that we're associating the title with the number may be running its course.
Right.
But the whole title thing, I think, is very funny.
Okay.
So, therefore, it stays.
Right. Okay, so then you can come up with episodes.
Well, you know, when you're editing an episode, you know, you can decide what it is you... Oh, wait. Oh, that's right.
Right.
You edit nothing.
That's right. Cool. My stuff doesn't suck. It doesn't have to be edited. Anyway.
Wow, is that a lie?
Anyway, why don't we get right into it?
Yes, why don't we?
What's that picture you're holding there, Kev?
All right, I'll bite. What is the picture I'm holding here, Matt?
That is the latest Spider-Man picture on the web right now. It's the Topher Grace as Venom teaser poster that's floating out around there. Whether or not it's true
it's
or not.
It's a lie.
Of course it's a lie. You think everything's a lie.
It's a lie.
Honestly, I don't know that that's... That one I think you might be right on. I think that's a fake. But it's pretty good. It looks pretty nice.
I don't know, though. I've never seen this shot of Topher Grace before.
That's what I was thinking. I couldn't place where it could be from unless maybe they did some sort of publicity still. For the movie. And maybe someone just edited in the Venom tendrils that are floating around him.
Why would they not have released this picture before now?
Who knows? No one knows the original source of that picture either, so who knows where it came from.
This is certainly not a That 70s Show promotional shot.
Surely not.
You know, gloomy, dreary Eric.
Yeah, no, not so much. It could be real.
Yeah. It's disgusting.
You suck.
It's disgusting.
It's not disgusting. It's not bad.
It's a cute picture.
Uh-oh. Mr. Fantastic has the picture now.
Uh-huh.
What's he going to do with it?
Hand it back to me.
Yeah. And now you're going to crumple it up into a little ball, throw it on the floor. There you go. And we're going to move right on.
That's right. Go look it up for yourself. Oh, wait. It's probably on the home site, of course.
It'll be on there.
Ugh.
We might as well move right into the X3 stuff that's going on online right now, which would be... the Wolverine Colossus Fastball Special video clip that's online.
And that's online somewhere?
It is. I've seen it at comics2film.com. I think comicbookmovie.com had it. Probably a couple other places. If you Google it, you should
see it. Check that out.
It's
Mr. Fantastic, let's make sure a link to that appears on the cast.
Sure. It's pretty much, for those of you who haven't seen it, it's pretty much Wolverine, Storm and Colossus in the Danger Room, or what we're being told is the Danger Room. So it looks like some sort of war scene on the streets. And Colossus pretty much launches Wolverine at a giant robot. Wolverine rips the head off. The head falls to the ground. And it is a giant Sentinel head. It looks like it would be the proper scale for for what we know and love from the cartoon and the comic books, which is baffling, considering there were the rumors that the Sentinels were going to be 3 feet tall.
Does it look like, is he pink and purple like the Sentinels?
He's not pink and purple, but he's like, he's kind of like a
mauve. Or
he's kind of like a
something saucy.
Gay. It's like a purpley metallic haze and a gray kind of. You could definitely tell it's a
like Master Mold.
Yeah, kind of. It's definitely a redo of the Sentinel for the movie.
You know what it reminds me of is the Banshee or the Ghost in Halo? That kind of purple sheen that they got going there? That's kind of like...
Oh,
yeah.
It's very dark, but that's what I would say.
Like they've tried to darken it up a bit and make it less comic-y for the movie.
Yeah, they tried to less poof it.
Yeah. But it looks good. But the news is that the Sentinels that are going to be in the movie, or are they still going to stick with the 3 foot Sentinels that we heard so much about, that Brett Ratner was talking about, that we discussed, I think, last week or 2 weeks ago here? I don't know. That's the buzz, though, about
that.
He's
a rat. His whole family are rats.
Wow. It's pretty rough.
Did that scene seem to you like it could be a throwaway scene that doesn't actually end up in the movie? Because that's what it looked like to me.
I haven't seen it, Mr. Fantastic, so I couldn't tell you.
You know
what's wrong with you?
I suspect, though, that they would not spend that much money on that many effects to throw away the scene.
You know, looking at the scene and watching the scene, it did seem kind of hokey. So my thought is that maybe it's not a finished scene. Maybe they still have to go back and do some post-production work on it. The only other thing is that right before the scene got announced, there was all the fervor about the Danger Room being in the movie, and then they show a Danger Room sequence. So to think that would be a throwaway... It could be. I think probably post-production is where it is.
I think you're right. I think the dubbing is really bad on it. I think that definitely needs to be done. It's pretty it's glaring that it needs to be fixed.
Well, that's probably not a finished scene then.
Yeah. So we'll have to see. The movie opens up in, what, 3 weeks? I think it's Memorial Day weekend. So
is it?
Yeah.
Is it then?
Yeah, it's Memorial Day weekend. It's Friday before Memorial Day, the 26th, I guess.
You know we're hosting that, right?
We are hosting that. That'll be the second movie we're hosting this month?
Third.
Well, there's Da Vinci Code, then X-Men, and then what?
Superman. Oh, that's after.
That's right after, right. So we might as well move away from that.
All right.
What do you got for us? Anything today?
Let me tell you what I have for you. I'm not even looking at my notes.
Wow.
Yesterday.
Uh-huh.
I was going to awake.
I'm sorry.
For a person who I knew who had passed away.
Right.
I thought the awake was from 12. Mm-hmm. To 2.
Right.
And as it turns out, the wake was from 2 to 4. Okay. So I'm on my way down Route 22 in New Jersey. Mm-hmm. And I decide, well, since I have 2 hours to kill.
Why not stop?
Why don't I do some looking around?
Sure.
I had to go into Walmart.
Oh, sure. They're all right there on 22.
Had to go into Walmart on 22.
And
I went into Walmart, and I'm looking in our aisles, as they say, which are conveniently placed as far from the fucking door as is humanly possible. So I have to go through as many of the flour supplies and scrapbooking materials and grocery items, and I mean grossery
right.
items. As possible to get back into the toy section. And I got to tell you, not a lot. Not a lot to choose from.
Mm-hmm.
So I looked around in the Marvel Legends section, and I saw the usual piece or two from the last wave. You know, the Legendary Riders wave, the Thing, which is everywhere.
Right.
And what's his name? Vengeance, who's everywhere.
Vengeance?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, right.
The Ghost Rider character. And so as I came around the corner, young man named Gervasis... says, can I help you, sir? Are you looking for anything? Can I help you find anything? And I said, well, as a matter of fact, I am. I'm looking for the new Marvel Legends.
And
he said to me, oh, they're downstairs. And I said, oh, well, why not bring them up? And he said, well, I don't know if I have room on the floor to bring them up. And I'm like, well, you know, they are supposed to be on the floor today. Anyway, there was a back and forth, and I convinced him that he needed to bring them up.
Right.
So he brought them up, and I called Toy Mike.
Right.
And I said, Toy Mike, I'm standing in front of the Walmart Legends. Toy Mike said, buy them all.
Okay.
Buy every one of them.
Okay. And?
And so I did. The entire pallet.
Wow. That's sick.
Sick. Marvel Legends, box sets, the Marvel Masterworks, those 3D representations of critical moments in Marvel history, and whatever the...
So I have to know.
What? No, I'm missing one. Oh, the two packs.
Oh, yeah, okay.
The Versus packs.
Right.
And all the...
I like the Mandarin one.
Yeah, they were all even packed, by the way.
What's the chase? Did you get the chase?
All right, here we go.
I have to know.
Here we go, kids. Strap in.
Okay.
Here it comes.
All right.
Marvel Legends Walmart Wave. Okay. Look on them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What we're looking at right now is the Thor from the Marvel Legends Walmart Wave.
Okay.
As I said, Matt, no Walmart marking on the packaging.
Right.
Distinguish it as such.
Okay.
There are 9 characters in the line.
Okay.
9 characters.
Mm-hmm.
They are Age of Apocalypse, Sabretooth, Captain Britain, Kitty Pryde, Ant-Man, Thor, Havoc. This would be the second Thor, by the way. Havoc, Warbird, Age of Apocalypse, Weapon X, and Sentry.
Okay.
Ready?
Uh-huh.
Age of Apocalypse Wolverine has a variant where all his hair is burned off, if you remember how that story goes.
Right.
You need that variant to make Giant Man.
Right. Well, they said that, though. Right. That's not news.
So he's fairly well packed out in the line.
You would think.
No, he is.
Okay.
The second variant listed here
mm-hmm.
is a Sentry variant.
Okay.
He's all overgrown and bearded, much the way he appears now in the Avengers.
Okay.
Without getting into much detail, Sentry is a hoax that was played on comic book readers a few years ago. It was said that Jack Kirby had created a character and had never used him and so on. So they found all of these sketches and story framework and stuff. So they decided to... make a backstory for this character that he had been this big force in the Marvel Universe, and that he was so powerful that they had to put him in isolation or some bullshit like that. And it was this whole thing that came out. It was all fake, yada, yada, yada. And now, of course, he's an Avenger.
Okay.
Because that makes sense. Because he's so powerful they have to lock him away. But let's make him Avenger. But let's say that for another time.
Right.
Back to the toys. Right. I'm going to now, via Mr. Fantastic, I'm going to pass this package to you.
Okay.
Does it in any way indicate on that packaging that the Sentry variant would be more difficult to find than the Age of Apocalypse Wolverine variant?
No, there's no real indication as to either one of their pack-outs, but there never really is.
I have talked to...
Mm-hmm.
Over 12 people
okay.
who have been at multiple Walmarts
and
when the pallet is unloaded and opened
mm-hmm.
and there have been 0 Sentry variants.
Right.
eBay alert. eBay alert. eBay alert.
That's right. There's a couple of them available on eBay mm-hmm. right now that are going for very cheap.
Right.
20, 25 bucks.
That's not too bad.
No. But when you consider the fact that this is not a standard chase variant.
Right.
It's not. It's a super variant.
Sure.
It's a case out variant.
Sure.
Which means who knows how few of these things there are.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there can't be that many. And according to my source at Walmart, that's all they're getting. Each store is getting 1 skid. That's what I heard. So anyway, I wanted to let everybody know that your Marvel Legends exclusive Walmart wave or the Giant Man wave or wave routine that you are looking for is now out there.
eBay alert. eBay alert. eBay alert.
That's right. You're going to want to go right to eBay, and you're going to want to check that out.
That's
good fucking luck.
Well, we'll have to see.
I bought all of them. I bought all of them. You'll have none of them. None of them in New Jersey off of Route 22. If you live near and that's your Walmart, you'll have none.
You're a whore. You're a toy whore.
But listen, if anybody out there stumbles upon one of these variants, please, please let us know.
Yeah, please let me know because I need one for my collection.
Well, not even for that, but I'd love to know where it was found.
Right.
How it was found, if it was found, you know, through a backroom connection or a stock boy connection, or if it was
or the back of a stock boy connection.
Yeah, something along those lines.
What else you got, Matt?
A couple things. I don't know if you heard, but it looks like Will Smith is going to be starring in a new original superhero movie, it looks like. Tonight He Comes, it's going to be called. And I don't know. I'm not too excited about it.
What a great title.
Sure. Yuck. But yeah, I'm not really, I don't know.
It's sexy.
Something about Will Smith as a superhero doesn't strike me well. And the premise that they put out there right now is, you know, it's about this superhero who crash lands in I think it's Brooklyn, New York, and
of course,
you know,
it is.
He's trying to make a life here on Earth, and he, you know, he falls in love with some woman, and you know, things get messy. She finds out he's a superhero. Blah blah blah. It sounds really like cliche bullshit. Honestly,
I have three words for you.
Right.
Vampire from Brooklyn.
Oh well, no.
The end.
Right. But the little bit of exciting news, or not exciting news, I guess, but news surrounding this, which I don't understand how this escaped me. Have you heard of this Fanboys movie that's being made or that's coming out?
No. Are we starring in it?
We should, but no. I think it's already done. But the movie is about it's about a group of kids. One of the kids is dying of cancer, I believe. And his final wish is to go to Skywalker Ranch to see the premiere of Episode 1.
Isn't he a little late?
Well, I guess if it was current, but in terms of the storyline, I guess not. And so the movie is
so it takes
much,
place in the past.
Right.
So the kid's already dead.
You're a fucking genius. Can I move on?
Sorry. I just wanted to make sure I was with you on the same page.
Yeah, no, you're not on the same page. You're in a different book. Ass. You're in the ass book. Anyway. Anyway. So
someone give Mr. Fantastic a shiny object so he can be occupied.
Right. So it's about these kids, and apparently it's about their journey getting to Skywalker Ranch, which it sounds kind of funny, sounds kind of interesting, but Kevin Smith is going to be playing Harry Knowles in the film, apparently.
Which, if that's true, that's just crazy.
That's worth it, you know. Just that's it. Yeah, I'd pay to see the movie just for that. But it looks like Billy Dee Williams is going to make a guest appearance in the movie, and Carrie Fisher is going to make a guest appearance in the movie.
And so I think the point here is was Harry Knowles too busy to do this movie as himself?
I don't care.
The great Harry.
Hey, I visit the site, but
you know,
man,
listen to me.
He's a big boy.
Harry Knowles is a sacred cow in the geek industry.
He sure is.
And that's all I'm saying.
I got one last thing. I guess it's going to tie us into what we're talking about today, today being generations and whatnot. It looks like they just announced a remake of Clash of the Titans, which...
Again, everything old is new again. There hasn't been an original idea in a movie in God knows how long.
I don't know. I don't know that I could feel good about a remake of Clash of the
what
Titans.
What else? They're remaking... What else are you telling me?
Revenge of the Nerds.
Revenge of the Nerds needs a goddamn remake?
Not so much.
That movie's a classic.
Just the way it is. It's fun.
Anthony Edwards and that other
that
feller.
That other nerd.
That was fantastic.
I don't know how good it's going to be. It's really new. We'll have to follow it. But I think that wraps us up for the news today.
Great. So. And now we should go to...
some sort of break?
I guess.
Sure.
What? Say what again?
Say again, and now we should go to some sort of break.
I like the way it was.
All
right. Look at this.
Do it again.
No.
Do it again.
I like the way it was, and it's staying.
Fine.
Space, the final frontier.
Yeah.
These are the voyages of the starship Enterprise. Its five-year mission, to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Hello, I'm George Takei, Sulu from the original Star Trek series. Why not check out BigKevsGeekStuff.com, where you can listen each and every week to Geek Stuff. I know I'll be there. Live long and prosper.
Celebrity voices are impersonated.
When trumpets were mellow and every gal only had one fellow, no need to remember when, 'cause everything old is new again.
I don't care what you say. He doesn't look... I don't think he is.
I'm not saying anything.
Well, you're the one that brought it up.
I certainly did not.
I mean, maybe if his name was Mr. Fabulous. Hey. But it isn't. It's Mr. Fantastic.
I'm not saying a thing.
Well, look, you started this. I don't think he is.
You know, Mr. Fantastic sexuality has nothing to do with our topic today.
Our topic today on Geek Stuff Episode 7,
right.
Generations, is something we actually touched on in the new segment, and that is everything old is new again, Matt. There are no original thoughts. There are no original ideas.
It's true. Every form of geek anything out there is being rehashed. Movies, video games, toys, right. Cartoons, everything. Everything from our childhood is coming right back at us in our adulthood. Some of it I like. Some of it, eh.
I don't... I'm so upset about so much of it.
Okay.
That it almost overshadows any of it that I actually like.
All right.
So let's talk about a few of the big ones.
Sure.
A couple years ago,
Mattel
was
perfect
getting
place to start.
Mattel's getting a lot of emails and a lot of mail and a lot of suggestions and comments that they bring back He-Man figures.
Yep.
And so, of course, Mattel being the toy juggernaut that they are, they decide, well, here's what we're really going to do. I mean, is there that much of an audience for He-Man that we need to restart the line, do new figures, and so on and so forth?
Mm-hmm.
Those figures sucked, by the way. The ones in the 80s?
I don't know. I kind of like them.
Awful.
I kind of like them.
Ugh, what were you, three? They were terrible.
No, I kind of like them. They looked good as far as compared to the cartoon, which is
my
what they were based
God,
on.
Dude, they look like humongous gay guys. Huge. They look like Mr. Fantastic if he keeps it up. You see where I'm going?
I kind of liked them.
All right. But look, the quality aside,
right?
It was huge.
Sure.
I mean, I mean, struggle to think if there was a more popular line in the 80s. I mean,
no.
G.I. Joe... was very popular. Star Wars was at its tail end. I mean, there was a lot of... It was a very different time.
He-Man was definitely king of the castle.
And of the castle Grayskull.
Oh, right. Nice.
So Mattel decides, well, here's what we're going to do. We're gonna feel the waters out a little bit. And we're going to put out anniversary editions of some of the figures.
Right.
And what they did was they went back, they recast some of the off the original mold. He-Man, basic, normal, ordinary, perfect He-Man.
Right.
Not with any battle action or thunder punch or barrel chest damage spinny
right.
thing. Skeletor, the Battle Cat, maybe a couple of other
right.
things. And they did these in the original packaging.
Mm-hmm.
And then they did packaging on the outside of the packaging.
Right.
So they did special collector's packaging on the outside of the reproduction of the original packaging.
Right.
Right? So they put these out, and they were gone.
Yep. Couldn't find them
They
anywhere.
Were snatched up so fast, it made your head spin.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, collectors went berserk. And, of course, this gave them the impetus to... say, okay, let's make a killing with He-Man.
Right.
Let's do the whole thing. Let's find a new company to do a new cartoon, and we're going to just rip-roar away through He-Man.
Okay.
And they made a new cartoon, and it was okay. I mean, it was no worse than the original one, which is saying a lot. And they decided we're going to get the best guys out there to sculpt these toys. They went out and grabbed the Four Horsemen, who are a great bunch of guys and a talented group of sculptors.
It's true.
And they decided we're going to reinvigorate, reinvent, and redo this line. And they just started doing figures. And at the time, our friend, Jeremy Padour.
Yes, that's right.
From Jack Specific.
That's right.
Was the brand manager for He-Man at Mattel.
He was the Mattel guy. I forgot about that.
And he told them, Mattel suits,
right,
okay, guys, this is what you want to do. You want to do lots of secondary characters. You want to, because this is a collector's thing. Even though they're trying to relaunch for kids, it really was a collector's thing. It was the collectors that brought this back.
Sure.
And they completely and utterly ignored him.
Completely.
And the line, which was toy line of the year it came out, a scant year and a half later, not quite 2 years, tanked. Dead. Done. Over.
Yep.
Because they insisted on doing He-Man and Skeletor in every line.
Kitchen sinks.
And heavy packing the cases with them. So your secondary characters, your Beast Man and Clawful and
Orko,
Stratos, and all these guys became the gold because you weren't able to find them.
Right.
Which, of course, is fueling the secondary market and so on and so on.
Et cetera.
As we've explained before. So here you had a property. It was probably one of the most popular lines in the 80s. Probably was the most popular line in the 80s.
Right.
I'd say if it wasn't the most popular, it's got to be in the top three.
It was close. Yeah.
And here you have Mattel who decides, well, you know what? I think we can do this again and we can do it better. Yet they are trapped by the thinking of toy corporations today.
Sure.
Which is the nonsense of the pack out, the character selection, and the kitchen sink concept.
Yep. And they completely killed the line, and you're not going to see it anymore as action figures. You might see it. You still do see it as mini statues. The Four Horsemen still sculpt mini statues for NECA, I think, distributes them now. But as far as the line, it's dead. It's dead. But you know, if we're talking about, you know, what else was really big and what else is making a huge comeback from the 80s, if He-Man was not the number one and it was in the top three, then one of the other contenders in the top three had to have been the Transformers.
Oh, yeah.
No doubt about it. And they're back again, too.
And I'll tell you what.
Mm-hmm.
Not a fan.
Really?
Not a fan.
Oh, I love the original Transformers. The original, the Gen 1 Transformers. I didn't care for Beast Wars and some of that other stuff. But, you know, that Gen 1 stuff, Bumblebee and exactly.
I couldn't do it.
Why?
I couldn't watch the cartoon. I just couldn't get behind it.
I don't know.
I don't know why. I think it's probably, you know, I guess there's that part of a geek's brain that you just get to a point where you just can't get by. It's kind of like you in Star Trek.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just like maybe I needed to be sat down and to watch the Gen 1 episodes.
Right.
I did see the movie.
Right.
In the theater.
Nice.
And I saw about 20 minutes of it before I started making out with my date.
Ah.
And I'll tell you, I did like the first 20 minutes. That whole Megatron becomes Leonard Nimoy thing was really cool.
The movie was actually really good.
And actually, the part where Megatron, you know, where they're like, where whoever it was crawling up Megatron's leg and goes, no, and he just aims his arm down and goes, pathetic, and just shoots him. That was good stuff.
Yeah, man.
But I could never get behind the toys. I barely got behind the cartoon. I really couldn't get behind the cartoon, wow. But I could not get behind the toys.
Well, you know, they're huge. The toys are huge again, and there's a movie coming out, you know, which is you know, what we're talking about in this episode, how they're coming back. Oh. But I think it was 2 years ago.
Oh I'm sorry. The live movie caught my throat.
I don't know why you think it's going to be so bad. You haven't even seen anything from it yet.
Well, maybe you might. You might take away from the fact that I said that I'm not a fan of either the toys or the cartoon, that it stands to reason that I may not be looking forward to the movie.
Sure.
I'm just saying.
Just saying. Anyway, I think it was about 2 years ago, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, that Hasbro put out that 25th anniversary Optimus Prime figure. That thing was amazing. I never got my hands on one, unfortunately, and I'm still searching for one. I know I can get one. I just don't want to pay what they're going for right now. But that thing was fantastic. And these new...
And where could you get one nowadays?
You know where I can get one.
eBay alert. eBay alert. eBay alert.
Exactly. They're on eBay. You can find them. Like I said, it's just a matter of me not wanting to, you know, shell out what they're fetching for. But that was a great piece if you were a fan of that line.
Actually considered picking that one up. It's still in the back of my head as something that I want to pick up, simply for the fact that it would be nice to have one piece in my collection. And as I mentioned when we talked about Transformers movie last week, I think I do actually own a Transformer, and it's Ravage.
Right.
And who's the little cassette.
Uh-huh.
And I don't for the life of me know where he is. I'm reasonably sure I know where he is, but I don't know exactly, and it kind of bothers me a little bit. But I think that having that Optimus Prime, the anniversary one, would be just a great kind of, you know what I say, if you can get one piece that kind of encapsulates the entire series or the entire line or the entire movement, so to speak, you should. In a good collection, you want to represent as much as you can.
Well, I was always a Bumblebee fan, so I still have a Gen 1 Bumblebee on my shelf. It's actually on my desk. It's one of the few pieces on my desk right above where I work every day. And that would be the one piece currently in my collection. But if I had to have another piece, aside from that 25th anniversary piece, it would actually be an amalgam piece, which I think probably links Transformers and what would be the other third toy in the top three, which would be G.I. Joe. These were those G.I. Joe Transformers statues that we saw at Toy Fair.
From Puzzle or First Four.
First Four Figures, yeah. I think they were called, is the company. They were statues, and it was Optimus Prime and
Snake Eyes. Right away, Mr. Fantastic's ears perk up.
I'm sure it's getting a little moist. And the other one was
Baroness and Ravage.
And Ravage, right? If you haven't seen these things, find them online. They are they're out there.
I got a bad feeling, by the way.
Yeah, that company might go by the wayside.
They're in Europe. It's a European company.
Right.
And I've been reaching out.
And nothing? And
touching nobody.
Wow.
So I got a bad feeling. I mean, I hope and I pray that if nothing else, I'm able to purchase the prototypes. But short of that, I would hope that these pieces actually get produced.
Well, I would think that so many people saw those pieces and the fervor around those pieces was huge. That even if that company should go to that great big toy company graveyard in the sky, that either the sculptors who maybe have the rights to the pieces will find another company to produce and distribute them. Right. Because you could distribute those independently by themselves. You don't need a whole company surrounding it. I mean, you know, Diamond or somebody could pick them up and distribute them and they'd sell well.
You're begging. You're desperate.
I want those pieces. They're gorgeous.
I don't blame you.
They are amazing pieces.
That's what it is. It smacks of desperation.
I'm sorry.
What else?
Well, it brings G.I. Joe into the conversation.
Oh, okay. Let's bring G.I. Joe into the conversation. Mr. Fantastic? Comments?
I love G.I. Joe.
No.
Outside.
So, sounds good to me.
I like to get drunk and sit around and play G.I. Joe Roundtable.
Yes.
What do you think? What do you think of the Sigma Six line, which would be the new relaunch of G.I. Right. Joe now? Right,
they're very stylized. Modern. They're very angular and so on and so forth. And I happen to know Mr. Fantastic has several pieces from the line.
I do. Thank you, Big Kev. As one of those, what is it's the Storm Shadow with the dragon on his chest. I forget what the official name is that they're calling it. And yeah, like you said, it is a little angular. It's clearly the new cartoon is an anime pretty much. It's a Japanese anime, you know, like there's like five frames of animation while a character speaks and then the voice is kind of just thrown in there and your brain fills in the rest like he's speaking. So it has that flair to it, and I like the toys. I don't like them as much as I would, you know, I would like something original, going back to the original G.I. Joe, but I appreciate it that it's there. So I like that.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen a couple of the toys. I kind of like the stylization on them for what they are. Mm-hmm. I mean, I agree with Mr. Fantastic. I mean, they're. I'd rather own some classic pieces, which I don't have any from when I was a kid. They were all like the arms were ripped off and the elastic in the waist snapped, and I had a torso and a pair of legs and I could never match them back up together again. And you know, I tried putting some together myself with like other rubber bands, but it never was quite right. And I don't have any of those from when I was a kid. They were just destroyed.
I think much to Mr. Fantastic's chagrin, mm-hmm. I believe I may have my Storm Shadow and Snake Eyes collection, original 3 3/4. I had all of them.
Wow.
Especially those two characters. Somewhere in my collection, I think I still have them. I'm not sure about that exactly, but I think I might still have them in my collection.
Yeah, I think pretty much the only way those things would survive is if you never actually played with them. If you played with them at all, they were bound to break.
Well, the rubber was destined to dry out, crack, and break. So. Right.
So, I mean, if you never twisted them or really played with them, the rubber probably would dry out, but you'd have an intact figure.
Right.
Yeah, you can buy better O-rings for those now. I guess they're urethane as opposed to rubber or whatever.
Yeah, I saw that somewhere.
Yeah, and kind of rebuild them yourself?
Yeah, and if you have to, you can
it's a big thing.
You can give, like, you know, Hawk Duke's pants or whatever and go that route. I got to say that I do appreciate that it's a reimagining. It's not just, you know, they didn't decide to continue it with Sigma Six.
Right.
The comic book, the newer comics by Devil's Due Publishing, those are a continuation of the original Marvels. And, you know, the storyline picks up, even though it doesn't make any sense that Snake Eyes would have been in, I don't know, whatever, Vietnam or Korea, and he still is, like, completely jacked and didn't get any older.
See, what happened, actually, he was alive during World War II. He was a young, very frail, thin soldier. And what happened was scientists created this serum called the Super Soldier Serum, and they injected him with it.
No, that's not Snake Eyes. I think you're mixing a couple of things up, aren't you?
Am I?
Your geek continuities.
Wait,
is out of whack.
But doesn't he? And then he
gets a giant shield with a couple of stars on the front. And
wait, but that's not.
But anyway, as I was saying, it's a reimagining. So it does have newer characters like Kamakura and like the newer style Jinx. And they kind of like redid Tunnel Rat and threw all those guys into Sigma Six, which doesn't make any sense because there's way more than six G.I. Joes on the team. I don't know why they call it that. It's just silly. They do have that gimmick thing going, too, where it's kind of like they have the Sigma suit. And somehow the suit makes them more powerful. It's very vague and doesn't make any sense. But still, it's out there, and for that, I appreciate it. So, I like it.
I have a few of them. I picked up a couple of them.
Yeah, there were a couple I liked. I think the ones I really like, though, I don't actually ever find in the stores. I see them in one that we had discussed, and I don't remember which one it was. I think it was one of the Storm Shadow ones, but he was wearing his full outfit. He wasn't the bare chested one.
Right.
That one I kind of liked. I liked the design on it, but I've never
shirtless.
Actually seen it. Yeah.
Shirtless Storm Shadow.
Well, right now, I'm pretty sure that there's three Storm Shadows. Like the original one where he's just wearing the white with the
cowl. More.
Right.
There's the one from the dual pack with Snake Eyes, and then the third one with the dragon on his chest.
That's one dual pack. I think there are two,
And I think the figures are different in both of them. No, yeah, I think there is. I saw another one this weekend that I had never seen before.
It's brand new then, if it's...
Yeah, I think it is brand new, but I saw it this weekend and I had never seen it before.
Well, we can move out of the 80s, I guess, at least for a little bit now, and we might as well go right into probably what is now the biggest revamp from a younger generation, and it would have to be the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Wow.
With a relaunch of the toy line from Playmates, and with the new cartoon that's out there.
Right.
And I even think there was a new comic book that they relaunched a little bit ago.
Yes.
I think, I don't remember who was doing it. I don't know if it was Image. It wasn't Mirage, I don't think, that had done it.
No, it's Mirage.
It is Mirage?
I think it's Mirage Studios. Is Image... Image might be distributing it.
Maybe that's what it was. Yeah that's right. The logo was some Mirage, right? Image amalgam.
Yeah.
But so there's a new cartoon, the new toy line, which we talked a bit about before.
And the cartoon is not bad.
No, it's all right.
It's, I think, a little better, actually, than the one from the 80s. The one from the 80s was so goofy.
Well, yeah, you know, it's... The one from the 80s was goofy, and if you were a fan of the book prior to the cartoon...
And it's difficult, and that's exactly the point that I was going to make, is that it's difficult when you're me...
Right.
...who read the comic book...
Right.
...for whatever it was, two or maybe it was 3 years?
Probably about that.
Before the cartoon was made, where, first of all, it was in black and white, and the right. only color you ever got was on the cover.
Right.
And that color was not even full color.
Right.
It was a spot color because, Matt, as it happens, I don't want you to ooh and ah too loud, but...
Wow.
I happen to have my original Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles from 1984, issue one.
Here is it 84?
84.
Wow. That's the oversized ones, isn't it?
This is, and actually this is, believe it or not, this is a third printing, which came out in 1985.
Right.
The first printing, I think there was 10,000 of them. I think that was it.
Yeah, that's a hard find.
And this is the very first one, third printing. Mr. Fantastic, don't even think about touching it, because we've seen you handling stuff, and you are not handling this book. I have it signed, of course, by Kevin Eastman and Peter Laird, who I met in, I want to say, 1986.
Wow, look
at
you.
At a convention. And as it happens, Matt, I have the first four issues,
mm-hmm.
which were oversized. They had two color covers, black, white, and one spot color, which technically is three colors.
Right.
And these are, if you'll thumb through, do you want to thumb through and look?
No, I'm not now.
I believe the answer was yes, I want to thumb through.
Yes, I'd love to thumb through them. Hand over issue one.
Faggot. No, because then I have to give them to Fantastic, and he'll touch them.
It'll be okay.
No, put your hands out flat. Flat.
Give him the bugs.
Don't grip. See what you're gripping? Don't grip.
Thank you.
Jesus. Getting his ham hands all over my books.
Well, let's stay in it. Come on.
Right, so black and white comic. And even for a black and white comic, it's not for kids. I mean,
oh,
it's,
no.
It's a visceral mm-hmm. book. And you find out... eventually down the line in one of the covers that they're actually all wearing red. They're all wearing red masks, and they're all wearing red, you know, other accoutrements are red.
Right.
When they did the cartoon, they thought for little kids to distinguish them, they needed to break them up into individual colors. That's why you get blue, Leo, orange Raphael, orange Michelangelo,
red Raphael, and
which I happen to like the fact they left the most violent character in the original red. Nice
and,
touch.
And purple Donatello.
And purple Donatello, who was gay. So he had the staff. So look, that's all I'm saying. So when they first made these books, not for kids.
Right.
And then, of course, a couple years down the line, I remember being in art class in high school.
Mm-hmm.
I think I was 17 years old. And at this point, they were out. The book had been out for a while, but the cartoon hadn't hit yet.
Right.
Or it was right around the same time, let's say, that they had just started to hit. And two incidents associated with this. One, I remember sitting in my art class drawing the Ninja Turtles.
Right.
And having my teacher come over and go, "What are you drawing?" And I said, "Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle." And the teacher looked at me like I had 10 heads. And she basically shrugged it off as just and it would be the biggest fad,
right,
for like the next two or three
once
or
the cartoon
four
launched
years, once the cartoon launched. And when the cartoon launched, my first job, if you go over to BigKevsCriticalToys.com, I think it's up there. I'm not sure. Is the manifesto up on that website? In the manifesto, you find out that one of my first jobs, which around this time, my first kind of foray into the toy industry as a paid person, was I worked in Toys R Us right at the time the Ninja Turtle toy craze hit.
Right. Wow.
When we were, we're just handing them right out of the case to the parents.
They were huge.
And of course, April O'Neil, short packed.
Of course.
So of course, you know.
And Casey Jones was too, wasn't he?
He wasn't first wave though. He was like second or third wave. Yeah. And I can't recall. He wasn't, I don't remember. April O'Neil, everybody wanted April O'Neil, and there was like one a case.
Right.
So it was rough.
But that wasn't intentional back then. That was,
I think that was,
I don't think that was intentional.
No,
back
I think
then.
It was a marketing thing.
Yeah, no, like, I don't think they thought it was going to be
more
so
turtles.
Big. Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah. Well, anyway, I'm glad that we got to talk about the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Oh, no, we're not done.
Oh, I know. That's where I'm going right now.
Oh, okay.
Matt and I were lucky enough this past February to attend the Playmates showroom at Toy Fair.
Right.
Boy, did we get an eye full of this.
Mop and bucket. That's all I'm saying.
In 2007, the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles return in an all-new CGI animated feature film.
Holy shit. That's all I'm saying.
Holy shit doesn't even cover it.
It
we saw
looked amazing.
The teaser trailer. Mr. Fantastic, you would have been floored. It was amazing.
I want to say, before we get into this, I want to say that I was a fan of the first movie. I even kind of liked the second movie a little bit. The third one, not so much. But the first one, I liked the first movie for what it was. For what it was, I thought it was good. It was entertaining.
You were 11.
I own it now.
Didn't know.
I bought it on DVD now.
You, oh. God.
But this CGI movie, just I almost couldn't believe I was watching it. I thought it was a joke at first.
They've gone back. They've taken the original designs of the turtles more structure wise. Mm-hmm. They are keeping the different colors for the different turtles.
They are,
which is fine. However, they're not bright. They're not bright primary colors. They show you in what I'm looking at right now is the teaser poster for the film.
Mm-hmm. It's
and
Leo,
it shows
right?
Leo right out in the front. And you can see Donatello in the background.
Aww.
Holding his staff. And anyway, Leo's mask is actually a dark muted kind of blue.
Yeah,
it's
blends
not that,
in with the green.
Right, it's not that bright, almost sky, almost paint your kindergarten classroom blue.
Right.
It's more of a darker, deeper blue. And what struck us, all right, what struck me, and you can speak for yourself.
Sure.
What struck me when we saw the trailer was it was completely dark. It was completely serious. It was completely different than the cartoon, the original or the current, different than the movies, different even than the books, because I don't think it goes quite as down the harsh road as the books do. But I think what was most impressive was the fact that only the last 2 seconds did they do that little botch of humor that they throw in.
Right. I want to throw a couple of things in here. First of all, I want to say that during the course of this teaser, and it was probably, a minute and a half?
It seemed like an eternity. It seemed like we were seeing 20 minutes of the opening.
It did, but I think the runtime probably was about a minute and a half, 2 minutes, somewhere around there. There's a throwback to Mirage. I think you see the four turtles jumping from rooftop to rooftop past the old Mirage.
Studios
logo,
or something.
The Mirage Studios logo. I thought that was kind of nice. But the whole trailer, just like Kevin said, you don't really see the turtles. You see their outlines. You see
shadowy
the weapons.
Movements.
Very shadowy movement. You know, like a ninja. And the last segment, this bit of humor that he's talking about is the turtles are jumping off a rooftop one by one into a dark alleyway. And one of them leaps down and takes a little stumble and a fall. And it's obviously Michelangelo
right.
by his voice. And he makes kind of a, I don't remember what he says exactly, but it's kind of a jokey, funny, in the vein of the cartoon sort of
right.
kind of feel. But the feel that I got, even from that little bit, is that it's going to be a combination of the cartoon and the movies
right.
and the original series. It looks like it's not going to be quite as hokey. It's not going to be
the
quite
book,
as
the
dark.
Original books.
Right. It's going to be kind of somewhere in the middle where they're going to retain a lot of that humor because it's still going to be geared towards a younger audience to a certain degree. But it is going to be a little darker. I don't think it's going to be Cowabunga every 30 seconds.
Thank God.
Yeah, that's what the vein of the cartoons is kind of right now, is that, you know, Michelangelo will go to say Cowabunga or something, or Let's Kick Shell or some other hokey stuff like that, and they'll just give him the dirty look, and it's kind of tongue-in-cheek, or they'll stop right. him before he says it mid-word. And I think that is the question I was going to have ask you guys, even though you just see the silhouettes, is it the tailed turtles? Do they have tails?
I didn't know.
I would say probably yes.
Because I remember one thing that originally, I think they dropped that out, right? Like now the turtles don't have tails, right? But originally,
to be honest,
they did.
I don't know.
And I'm just curious because I mean, I recently I saw the Nintendo game, the cover to the Nintendo game,
right.
where it's made by Ultra Games, which I guess was company making games for Nintendo at the time, and there's four turtles. They have their weapons. They're kind of on a rooftop with the
right.
wind blowing. They all have red bandanas or masks, and then they have these little tails that you can just see and mistake for very small penises. So I can see why they took that out, but that's just something that I'm...
Yeah, I'm kind of thumbing through, gently thumbing through these Mirage issues, and they definitely have the tails in the Mirage issues. So
I'd have to go into the Big Kev Toy Archive to find out if the current line has tails. To be honest with you, I just don't know.
I don't think that they do. I have, from the current line, I have the four turtles, that basic ones, and I don't see them. So
the question I have about the new CGI thing that you guys saw, was it the style of it, the way they approach it? Is it the quality of the CGI? I haven't seen this. And I do see that, and you know that looks cool. And I did see, I think it was kind of like a pre-release one sheet with, I believe it was either Michelangelo or Raphael, and kind of just his shoulder. And I could see that there was like this, you know, cool sheen and bump mapping going down. And you could see that the texture was the, you know, like true to turtle skin texture.
Right.
And that did excite me. So, you know, I want to take a look at that. And that's something that I'm pretty jazzed about. But what was it about it? Other than,
well,
is the quality look good?
The quality looked, it didn't look hokey, which... Every time I hear of some sort of revamp or retelling of the Turtles, I'm always concerned that it's going to go ultra hokey. And especially with this politically correct world that we live in right now, where everything is so watered down and so silly,
yeah.
it's very easy for the Turtles to take that route. And it really didn't seem that way. It really seemed like they were trying to capture a bit of the hokey with a bit of the real dark realism darkness from the original series. And it did look good. The CGI looked great, I thought.
Did you say that they're going for a theatrical release with this?
They are, yeah.
Yeah, I believe so. 2007, I think we're going to see a theatrical release.
Yeah, cool. I think definitely.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, fantastic. For me, it was... what impressed me most was the fact that I felt like throughout the entire thing, like I said, right up until the very end, I felt like I was watching the book being animated, the original book being mm-hmm. animated. And that pleased me very much. And I wasn't put off entirely by the little Michelangelo bit at the end,
right.
which I thought I would be. And I wasn't really put off. I really did want to see more.
Yeah, I can't wait. The only thing that I'm curious to see if they're going to do, and you can't really tell from the trailer, because the only other thing in the trailer other than the four turtles that we saw was... you hear a police officer's voice and they're escaping down a manhole cover to get away from the police officer, but you don't see the police officer. So I'm curious to know if they're going to do full CG for everything, or if they're going to maybe do half CG.
Oh, no, I think it is full CG.
It's going to be full CG?
Yeah, from the sheet, it looks like they say it's a CG movie.
Oh, okay. So that answers that.
So much for your stupid question.
I'm sorry. I haven't been holding the poster for like the last 10 minutes, studying it.
Stop.
Enamored with it.
Go.
Well, it seems like everything we've talked about so far has been stuff that we're kind of excited about. And
that's just the tip of the iceberg.
Oh, sure.
I mean, there's at least, I mean, can you, I mean, I know you have a list, so I know the answer is yes. Can you name for us, Matt, some more of these 80s things that are being redone, reissued, reinvented? Because the list goes on and on.
I can throw two at you real quick. One I'm kind of excited about and one I don't understand for the life of me. But what I'm kind of excited about is the Smurfs re-release. I think it's German company that puts out those high-end, expensive little like knights.
PVCs.
I think they even did some Lord of the Rings stuff at
one
point in time.
Oh, you mean the animals. Toys that require imagination.
Right. No articulation. Those. Right. Somehow they got a Smurfs license, and they're putting out Smurfs, little Smurf huts and all the little Smurf characters. And
you're excited about this.
I don't know why I am, but I am.
I know why you are.
Do you?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
I ain't saying.
The other thing that is coming back out that I just don't understand, and I can't wrap my brain around why they're doing it, is Madballs. Why the hell are they bringing these things back?
That to me seems like a perfect like Hot Topic, Spencer Gifts type. You know, they drop
That's
it
probably
in there.
Probably exactly
go for it.
Why.
I guess it just seems so. Out of all the things from that time period that you can bring back, I mean, like I'd rather see Battle Beasts or Mask redone. You know, those were two things I loved as a kid, but fucking Madballs?
They were supremely unplayable, those things. The head would fall off while you're playing with it. It was spring-loaded.
They're just awful. I don't know why, how they pick it or how they come up with what's
well,
being
probably
done,
but... it's another one of the great marketing ideas of the industry today, which is, hey, let's get a bunch of kids in a room. And we'll put a few old Madballs in front of them, and let's see how they react.
Yeah,
the moment that child picks one up and looks at it, oh my God, we have to do Madballs again. Look, the child is interested. We really should do a show about the stupid market tests that these companies are doing. Do you remember when we got told by certain individuals and certain companies how they did their market research?
Yes,
and we screamed. And we yelled at the showroom.
These are high executives for these toy companies that we've had the opportunity to talk to in the past, and their logic is so backwards. I don't know. But if I had to put a vote out there, if anybody's listening, and I know some of you are because I've seen some of the feedback. If I had to put a vote out there for what I want to see done again, let's bring back Mask. Because I freaking love that line. I'd even be happy with a cartoon redo.
Nope.
Oh, come on.
Nope. Why never not? Another one.
Why? Are you going to get into it?
Don't know. I just never got into it.
I know Fantastic was on the bandwagon with me for that one.
I think I had every Mask thing that there was, yeah.
I might have had one or two pieces in my collection at the time that they came out because I thought I actually had the little kid who had a white robot looked like a trash can that turned into like a little scooter. Wasn't that Mask?
Was that Mask? I don't think that was Mask.
It wasn't Mask?
I don't know. The only one I know I still have is I still have Rhino, which was the 18-wheeler. It was the Mack truck. And I had like the missile that launched out of the back and they had like the front shot out. Oh, I have the 57 Chevy too. Hurricane. Like he like it turned into a tank. The top came up and guns came out the front and cannons came out of the headlights and the
That's one thing that we never really touched on, but in the 80s, toys were violent. I mean, G.I. Joe was pretty violent. Yeah, they only punch guys in the face and they got them, you know, knocked out. And
and you saw the parachute open every time a plane got shot.
Right, which is something I know that Larry Hama has a big problem with, and that, you know, the lack of death and lack of having to deal with realistic issues in the comics, but in the comics, the people do die and they do use bullets as opposed to lasers.
And they come back a week later, though.
But there were a lot of guns packed with toys.
That was great, man. That shit was awesome. I don't know. I think that's about it for this segment. I think maybe we should take a little break, regroup. We'll come back. We got some more stuff to talk about for Everything Old is New and Generations.
Oh, God, there's more.
A little bit more, not too much. And
I'm fed to the teeth with this 80s garbage.
I like a lot of it. Some of it, like I said, I like a lot of it. Some of it I don't like.
Ugh.
Matt, is there a better online resource for action figure news and information than action-figure.com?
No. Actionfigure.com is the premier website.
Whoa, slow down. It's action-figure.com, Matt.
I'm sorry. Action-figure.com is the premier website for all your toy news, reviews, photos, and it's updated daily.
They have a great staff over there. They're great writers. They know what they're talking about. They answer questions that you want to have answered.
You aren't going to find a better source for action figure information on the web.
That's right. So point your internet browser to www.action-figure.com and go there today.
And I tell you this, I'm so sick of this 80s crap, Matt. I'm ending the show.
Anyway.
I'm ending it.
But we had...
You're cut off.
We had more.
No, that's it. Let's recap what we've talked about today in episode 7, Generations. And then I'm walking away.
That's not,
I'm not No, I'm not supporting this anymore. I'm not supporting this rehashing of old things.
But we didn't get to...
Good.
D&D.
What, you want to talk more about the Smurfs? Is that what you want?
Hey, what do you got against the Smurfs?
Everything. So should you. You're a heterosexual male.
I am. And I like the Smurfs.
Like other people in the room.
Thought we weren't going to talk about that.
All right, that's fine. So, we had a new segment today.
We did. And during that segment, we touched upon the latest Photoshop, or is it, of Topher Grace as Venom.
In the Spider-Man 3 movie.
Right. We talked
about, I hope it's fake.
See, that one I don't hope is fake. The other ones I don't care about.
It looks
that
nice.
One I like.
I gotta admit, it looks nice. It looks a lot better.
It looks pretty cool.
Than that awful black costume
Spider-Man
ninja
that's been going on. Jedi.
Photo, yeah.
Right. And right after that, we moved right into the X3 sequence that Hugh Jackman showed this week on some late night talk show, which one I can't remember right now. I'm drawing a blank.
Oh, good. Way to go, journalist.
Right. But this was the Danger Room sequence in which we finally see a Sentinel, and it looks like it's a full-size Sentinel, not the 3-foot Sentinel.
I'm going to check that out.
I hope so. I hope it is a full-size Sentinel, and I hope we see him in the movie.
Mm.
So that sequence looked pretty cool. From there, we went into my dislike of the potential Will Smith superhero movie. Infer what you will, based on what I said.
I don't think we need to say anything.
I just think that the storyline sounds really hokey and cliche, and I'm not excited about it. But I am excited about the Fanboys movie, which is by the same director, I believe.
Can I just ask you a question?
Sure.
Are you? Do you have any feelings on the upcoming Ghost Rider movie?
Ghost Rider movie? Nah, not too excited about that either.
Okay, but you're not willing to, you know, talk about it in a news segment. You have to pick a specific type of movie to talk about in the new segment to say that you're not looking forward to it.
There wasn't anything huge with Ghost Rider this past week.
I'm just saying.
Are you?
You know, there was a movie starring a certain type of individual that you chose not to bring up, and a movie that starred another certain type of individual that you chose to bring up and bash.
Right. I didn't bash it. I just said I wasn't excited by it. And I think it sounds cliche and hokey.
Just saying.
I can't wait for you to cut this out.
You think I'm cutting this out. I'm cutting what you said out.
It just sounds like it could be another Wild Wild West. That's all I'm saying.
Hokey.
Hokey.
Good God, we don't need another Hokey. Wild Wild West.
And I think to wrap it up, we quickly hit upon the remake of The Clash of the Titans, which, again, something I really don't feel good about. I don't know why they're doing it, but it really does fit in with the theme of the show. This revival of things from the past coming back into our face in the now.
And having nothing whatsoever to do with the past, but the current or the present, the exclusive Walmart Marvel Legends line has landed.
Right.
And you should get on out there now, unless you live in New Jersey near Route 22. And you should get yours immediately. If you're interested in this line, it's out there. It's really, really limited. And we discussed Sentry.
Right.
The character of Sentry, the variant, is apparently not a regular variant, but is a super variant, apparently only coming in so many displays. And right now, it looks like of the many, many people that I have spoken to, none of them have seen it.
And like I said, if you stumble upon one of these or you have some more information surrounding the figure, because we haven't really heard a lot about it yet. This is kind of new to us from just when Kevin picked them up. Drop us a line. We'd love to know where you found it or what you know. If you have an idea of what the case pack out is, if it's like unmasked Wolverine at 1 per 100 or something.
Insane. One per...
Right. And then from there, we moved right into our revival as far as toys were concerned. I think we hit upon a couple of toy lines, probably the top three from the 80s, which would be the Transformers, we said. We said G.I. Joe and He-Man.
Not necessarily in that order.
Right, not necessarily in that order. And the debacle that some of them are and were, and the good that some of them have, the Sigma 6 line we said was pretty good. He-Man was a debacle.
And tanked.
And Transformers, Kevin doesn't like. I happen to love them. And I hope someone does those statues because they're just fantastic.
And that's where I cut you off.
No. We what about the Turtles?
Oh, that's right. I forgot about it. Yeah, and about we moved into a discussion about the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, extraordinarily popular in the 80s.
Right.
Started as an underground comic book, moved into a cartoon and toy phenomenon for years, almost the entire decade of the 80s. And 90. They've been brought back a few years ago. New cartoon, new toy line, fantastic. Now they have a new CGI animated feature coming out. Matt and I saw a teaser trailer for it that was absolutely glorious to see.
It was.
A reflection, if you will, of the original book with just a couple little pinches, if you will, of the TV show, original TV show and movie series.
Right. And I think that's where you cut me off.
That is where I cut you off and I say no more. I say no more. No more.
You're filled with hate, man.
I'm not filled with hate. I just don't think, you know, we're not supporting any new ideas. Do we talk about Avatar from Mattel? Avatar, the windbender or whatever the heck that line is they try to
what
pitch on us?
What the fucking Avatar? Generations. Avatar isn't Generations. It's shit on our TV.
Matt.
That's right. Matt, I said it. Matt, I got the rage now.
Matt. It's the new generation.
It's the shit generation.
It's an original concept. I know you can't wrap your head around this idea, but there are maybe one or two original concepts. I'm not saying it's good. I'm saying at least they're giving it a whirl.
And 10 years
from
now.
Not more Superman.
10 years from now, if somebody else is doing geek
not
stuff
more
or
Batman.
Something else like geek stuff, they can talk about Avatar.
It's
but for
not
now,
more
I fucking hate
of the
it.
Same.
And we're done. Cue the music.
I'm 37 years old. I'm tired of seeing the same shit over and over and over again. I'm going to go you to sleep.
And on that note, we cue the music.
from the